This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I wonder what tomorrow has in mind for me. Or am I even in its mind at all? Perhaps I'll get a chance to look ahead and see. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball. Soon as I find myself a crystal ball.
What about Baker? Do you think he'll stick around? Because he's looking up, and if you see Samba signed, then he's seeing Terry's signed, and then there's obviously Chester in there.
But Baker's another one who he's prone to a suspension or an injury as well, isn't he? So.
But from his point of view, he's at an age where he wants to be, the first team, doesn't he?
Yeah, but I don't see Baker anywhere above an Aston Villa. He's not the next Gary Cahill, is he?
No.
If he leaves Villa, where's he going to? You know, he's going to a Bristol City, isn't he? It's not.
Yeah. One way you could go, and I don't know if Jedinak and Whelan have got the legs, is you could play two holding midfielders, one up top, Codger, and then obviously have three advanced midfielders behind him.
Mm.
So Hourihane in the, let's say, the advanced midfielder role, with Green on one side and Elmo or Albert on the other side.
And describing it that way, that's a more balanced approach, isn't it, on paper?
Because on paper it would be pretty much solid as a rock. Nobody's going to go through that easily.
But you've got a, so.
You've got a bit of a... I think I've just solved Villa's formation problem.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Right, I can retire now. Sent Dr. Tony, if you could send me £4 million into a Swiss bank account where... what's the guy, sorry, that sorted out the...
Samuelson?
Samuelson, yeah. I'm sure Samuelson will invest it for me. Thank you very much, Christopher Samuelson.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
I think they know, we're talking about Villa, that they have to go up this year. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that's why John Terry has bought into this. I think Steve Bruce knows. And then financially as well, it's essential they go up.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. And joining me, it's always a pleasure, Dan Rogers of the villaunderground.com. Welcome.
We are on the cusp of another season.
Yes, indeed. Pre-season is now officially over and the campaign to glory begins. So what have you been up to since last we spoke? And we actually spoke not so long ago. We did record another podcast, which didn't really get time to edit and get it out in time, but that podcast was something special because, I mean, it was like I had a big crystal ball. I suddenly, out of nowhere, I was talking about Nathan Baker leaving, and he leaves.
Shock horror.
wasn't reported anywhere. I was saying he was going. Then I got a little tip off that he was. There were bids in there, and Volari's gone. The next thing I was talking about was we were talking about Whelan, and I said there's logic. He's not coming to be Jedinek's understudy. They're going to play 4-2, two deep-sitting midfielders, three, and then one. Lo and behold, Watford lineup. Exactly that. Obviously, Jedinek not fit, but Lansbury played there. So, God, that's a special podcast that you're never going to hear.
Can you imagine the revelations that you're gonna drop in the next hour of...
Or maybe I've used up all my psychic powers in that one go. Anyway, what have you been up to since last we spoke? What's happening?
Well, in between constantly refreshing Villa's YouTube page to try and get it to stream... I've been to the Open. I went to the Sunday at the Open, and
wow.
that was a good day out. It's not every day you get to run frantically through fields with loads of Scousers and not be around Anfield, but it was great fun nonetheless.
You've been making good use of this summer. You've been cricketing.
I even tried to go to the Edgbaston. We got golf, lots of golf. Edgbaston got rained off. I'm trying. I'm diversifying.
And you're going on holiday soon.
That's right.
We can't disclose the destination, but just because you'll get hounded by fans of this.
Well,
podcast.
Exactly, and I'll be on my Curacao passport as well, lent to me by Leandro Bacuna. So
he doesn't need it anymore, does he?
So yeah, a little fun fact: the last time I went abroad for and missed the first game of Villa's season, we infamously beat Manchester United on the first day. It was the Alan Hansen quote.
Where were you? Because I also was abroad on that day.
I was in Berlin.
Yeah, I was in some mountains in South Poland. I remember asking the Poles that I was staying if they had a long wave radio. So I tuned in and I think got the second half of that magnificent victory. Mark Draper scored, didn't he? Which doesn't.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Well, no, but I was listening in the hills of Poland on this long wave radio.
Oh, I don't know. I was probably being frog marched around Checkpoint Charlie.
Well, while you've been doing the old sporting relief while the season's obviously hasn't started yet, I went to the theatre the other night to see Cat on a Hot Tin Roof with Sienna Miller and Jack Ooh. O'Connell, because my friend flew in from LA because she's the agent of the director of the play. So we got top seats and then we went backstage. By the way, everybody gets naked in that play, so you get to see Sienna Miller.
Look out for that, patrons.
In all her glory. I've met her a few times when I used to go on film sets. So I've been on about three of her sets and interviewed her there. She's actually really cool. She's cool. She's good fun. She's was one of my faves. And we went for a beer with the director and blah, blah. But I think that's the way you should do theatre. Like, people should get naked, should be free. And you go for a beer at the end with the director. When I was outside a changing room, Liv Tyler was there. As
Hang on, you were creeping around outside a changing room. Good form, sir.
Yeah, well, what else is a man to do? It's actually right next to the entrance, the stage door. And while my friend was in, went to the toilet, I was hanging around that. But Liv Tyler, daughter of Aerosmith singer, and obviously anybody who's seen Lord of the Rings knows who she is, was there with her... man, what's his name? David Gallagher, who was David Beckham's best friend.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they've had a kid together. He was in the United youth ranks. That's how they met. And then he obviously wasn't that good. So he set up an agency and made shitloads of money from that. I think he must have been an agent of United players. So they were like hanging around standing next to me. And yeah, I think they bum rushed my Sienna Miller stalking and dived in there.
Bum rush isn't a word used often enough either.
It isn't. No, it's one of my favourite phrases. I don't know. Is it politically allowed nowadays? I don't know. Let's move on to the news. First of all, let's look at some news you may have missed. Soccer Sixes at London's O2 Arena, which was a chance to get a few old legends and ex-players and people who managed to...
Didn't we roll them out?
...pass off a career as a footballer previously. Basically, the format was six aside, legends or ex-players from various international heavyweight countries, split into three groups... England were there. Unfortunately for England, they thought the best policy was to play five ex-Villa players.
Not just any five.
You had David James. These are like England stars, by the way.
Inverted commas.
David James in goal. Then you had Luke Young. I think he played once for England. Emil Heskey, Lee Hendry.
Substitute appearance against half of one, was it? Against the Czech Republic?
Yeah, so him and Luke Young in good company there. And then Magic Merson. I'm surprised he can still play football. And then Danny Murphy, Phil Neville and Gerrard. I mean, Gerrard's only just retired, has he not? And I was quite surprised that even Gerrard... I mean, Gerrard spent most of his career carrying a Liverpool team on his shoulders, but he couldn't do much with this group of five motley Villa players, as they only came third in a four-team group and didn't manage to progress. But fear not, villains, because we had some representation in the final, lifting the trophy, and that was former Villa legend Robert Pires, also formerly of Arsenal, claimed the trophy as France beat Denmark 2-1. So well done, Bobby Pires. You made Villa very proud. And number two, fresh new signings. We'll go into detail about the signings later, but Ahmed Alamahamadi.
Elmo,
as we will call him henceforth. We're hoping he's not going to suffer the same fate as Hassan Kashlu, the last North African winger that has graced the Villa Park surface.
Still
but
missing.
He's looking good so far, but more on him a little later. Glenn Whelan, who some Stoke fans will tell you is a tireless workhorse type of underappreciated hero, while other Stoke fans will say he's the crab and he never passes forward. We will find out soon, but so far so good with him.
Mm-hmm.
As well as obviously Mr. John Terry, who we've discussed on a previous show.
Negatron alert. Terry is too old. Terry is too old. He'll retire by Christmas. Bring back Baker. Bring back Baker.
Chris Samba, who, I don't know, I've got a feeling old Chris Samba, if he gets in, I don't know, maybe Terry's just falls apart. His 36-year-old bones just collapse.
He won't be able to take the Samba Mamba, will he? He just will not be able to do it.
Adult marketing alert! Samba rhymes with mamba! Sell Unibet dildos! Sell Unibet dildos!
And Johnson has decided, after much deliberation, to continue his love affair with Aston Villa on loan from United. Baker's gone, and social media cried. God knows
why. I don't know why.
But more of that later. And maybe by the time you listen to this podcast, Mr. Bakuna would have left.
Oh, if there is a God.
If there is a God.
I don't care which one. God of Bakuna.
The God of Bakuna. And number three. Well, seems to be a bit of a conspiracy pre-season after those early games to stop people watching, or essentially to spare people from having to watch Villa games. First of all, the tournament in Germany.
Excuse me. We are official current holders.
Yes, I know.
Don't just refer to it as some sort of two-bit tournament. You know, it's not very dismissive.
They decided that every game should be 45 minutes just to, let's say, lessen the impact by 50% of having to watch Villa. Then Villa were having secret behind-the-closed-doors matches. They played FC Etihad, who people with amazing memories will remember we played them in the Peace Cup in 2000.
Yes.
Nine, another trophy we won on the European stage. And then everything seemed to be good and people were looking forward to watching the YouTube streams if they weren't at the games. And then I don't know who were blacking out those YouTube streams, but I think we were playing Hertha Berlin in the last, is it the last 10, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Went to black. We almost missed the team lifting that beautiful trophy, but thankfully the stream went back on. And then against Watford, blackout in the second half as well. So YouTube trying to spare from having to watch Villa. We thank you, but it makes you wonder though, Sky TV have got Villa on 5 of their first 10 games. I thought after they made that decision last season not to screen the Blues derby, which turned out to be a very, very good decision, they would have... But I think when you look at it, look at the teams in the Championship this season, we're probably the most glamorous as it gets. So I think we'll be on a few times, especially if we start winning.
I agree.
G'day, Villa fans. Yednak here. Sorry I've been away, villains, but I've got myself a summer job while I've been recuperating from my groin ripper. I'm a grave digger now, mates, digging deep holes for fucking useless Villa bastards. Veritu, shallow grave next to Sanchez's in Italy. That was a nice gig. Baker, I did him on the cheap, buried him in Bristol. Then, I've got a contract for a Bakuna. I've got to bury him in Curacao. Now where the bloody hell is that? But don't worry, villains, I'll be back in a Villa shirt soon enough, once I've torn it off that pretender, Glenda Whelan! Pray to the gods of beards for me, will ya?
Right, let's get into this. Signings. We'll link into the signings by answering a listener question. One of our three listeners. Leighton Castle. One of our 3 million listeners.
Yes.
Leighton Castle. I think when it comes to signings, we have too many football snobs. They only want sexy players and not practical for where we are and need. Discuss. Well, I think what he's referring to there primarily is Elmo and Whelan signings. Would you agree?
Not sexy, I'd agree, but damn functional for what we probably need to get out of this division. Glenn Whelan, yeah, particularly.
And I think we've seen evidence. I mean, let's talk about Whelan first, since you mentioned him. I was thinking, this could be the crab man, and he's obviously was he 33 now? But against Watford, I thought he was pretty decent, way beyond what I was thinking, and he played him in that two deep sitting midfielder role, which essentially compensates. Instead of having three centre backs, it provides you that solid defensive foundation of having two shielding the back four, and notably shielding Old Bones Terry. And then it gives you that platform to play three in midfield, attacking midfielders, two wide, one attacking midfielder, and then the man in top. And I thought in the first half, it Watford didn't know really how to handle it initially. And Whelan was just kept everything going. When we had a corner and the ball came out, he was the one who recycled it and got it back in there.
There's a couple of obvious things for me with Whelan. He's not going to sell you a million football shirts, but he's 300-plus Premier League appearances and he's 80-plus international caps.
Yeah.
You know, bring you experience that, you know, it's not the kind of strength and depth we have. And, you know, it's similar to the Jedinak signing. And I'll admit that I didn't really understand the type of player that Jedinak was when we signed him. But having seen him over a season, I get it now. And I think Whelan's probably one of those players that will fall into that bracket, hopefully, that you'll be pleasantly surprised. And he might be quite a different player to what I think we, you know, prejudge him to be.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You look at preseason games and it's kind of whatever, but you look for little hints and clues.
Yeah.
And Watford, I think, gave a lot of clues about him. And also of Elmo on the old right flank, he's direct and he's an out-and-out winger. You get that ball down there and he'll try to beat his man and get down the byline and whip it in. And it's a shame he wasn't at Villa when we had old Ben Teke.
Ooh.
Well, I remember those days.
Those days when we had a chance.
When we were still crap, but at least... at least
completely dependent on one man.
As I always said, with Benteke in your team, you can beat anybody. Well, it's the only hope we had of beating anybody was Benteke. But no, what's your impressions of Elmo? Because I think another player that seems like he's going to exceed those initial kind of expectations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't like to get bogged down in stats, but the other facts that significant Premier League experience, massive international experience, but also his stats do stand up in terms of assists and creativity as well.
His Twitter stats as well.
What, more followers than our entire football club that's existed for 100 and X years? Yeah, explain that. It says a lot, doesn't it, that some guy who got, you know, let's be honest, ridiculed in some quarters and getting openly barracked by... I mean, they are individuals on Twitter and stuff like that. You know, they are the minority, but they're the vocal minority.
But also in the last season at Hull, he was copping a lot of flack from their fans. I mean, they were blaming him, or he was one of the people they were pointing their finger at in terms of relegations. But yeah, I think he's... those two, I think, for whatever we've paid, and let's say it's around... I think Whelan's got some bonus incentives, but I think it's around, like, let's say 2 million for both of them.
Yeah, it's circa a million each, isn't it?
Yeah, no more than that. Chris Samba looked good in pre-season. I mean, he's injury record is in the last, let's say, season or two is insane. He dropped from somebody who was earning £100,000 a week to somebody who was with his begging bowl at the gates of Bodymore Heath asking for a trial. So judging just on his performances in pre-season alone, if he stays fit, I think he will be praising for winning us the league.
Yeah, I mean, my close-up inspection of him was the Warsaw game, really, and I was in an otherwise drab game of football, really. He was one of few who I thought, he was impressive, and you can see where he would fit into our season. The other thing that has occurred to me later, really, was that when you look back at when he joined as a trialist to him now, the physical change in him is actually quite remarkable, and you wonder, is this a professional, and this is last chance saloon, isn't it, really, that it's his last hurrah? And to his credit, he's changed a lot of opinions clearly behind the scenes at Villa, because you wonder whether, you know, he arrives and it's one of those, isn't it, that you let it happen, but he's kept banging at the door, hasn't he?
I mean, he had a trial before Villa at Crystal Palace under his old Blackburn manager Sam Allardyce.
February of this year.
Yeah, there was no room for sentiment there.
No.
Palace basically said no. And before that, he was heading off on loan to Turkey. I forgot what team off the top of my head. But the manager there is quoted as saying, this is not the Chris Samba I knew. This is Mike Tyson. I don't know if he was going out banging out people, but I think he's more implying, I think his physique at the time.
Yeah.
He wasn't really, let's say, football fit. But yeah, that's a wild card signing. But I think, obviously, without a transfer fee, I'd be really interested to have a look at his contract. Out of all those players, I would like to see his contract just to see if it is appearance-based or how it's structured. John Terry, we've already spoken about. I mean, we haven't conceded since he's been on the pitch or when he's been on the pitch. So that says all you need to know about that signing. So far, watching Terry and watching it against Watford, if you got one or two deep sitting midfielders, you've got two ball players at centre back in Terry and Chester. That they're not booting it out, they're not hoofing it out like Nathan Baker. That could be promising in terms of how we build from the back. I mean, we can mix it up a little bit.
Football.
Yeah, playing football. There's a revelation.
As the game is named.
Sam Johnson, well, let's welcome back. And I think, obviously, he's had a bit of a pre-season under his belt. So I think he'll be a bit more settled, although he got injured before the Watford game. And Jed Steer seems to have appeared out of nowhere and got a bit of game time under his belt. So he's obviously going to be the number two to Johnson. I'm kind of glad we're not relying on Bunn sitting on the bench.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd rather have the Kuna in goal, I think, than Bunn.
Speaking of which, Reading, Aston Villa turned down 1.5 million bid from Reading. As
we out of our minds.
Are we insane? Dr. Tony's probably seen the outcry on Twitter from getting rid of Nathan Baker, and he said, I can't handle this again. Twice in a week.
There's no man better than to kick the ball into the middle
Such
of the
emotion.
North Stand. Oh, God. Yeah, they can't take the social media barrage.
By the time you listen to this, he may have gone, but let's break it down. I hope he has gone in that time. Because, I mean, for him as well, if he's serious about his football career, he's not going to be starting regularly this season at Aston Villa. We've got quite a lot of midfield options if that's his position. Right back, join the bloody queue.
I think I'm ahead of him in it as well.
So where's he going to feature? If he just wants to sit around and pick up his cash, then that kind of show and just play the odd, you know, come on as a sub here and there, then really he needs to be cracking on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just close off the Bakuna discussion, really, because... Yeah, I'm probably the most dismissive person of him. If someone can tell me what he brings to our starting 11, by all means, and I've often said, is that because how we've allowed him to develop? You know, we haven't really given him a position. We haven't, you know, I'm still not clear. What's his trick? What are his key bits? You know, I just don't get it. Not good enough. End of.
There's players that hold us back. Some of them are still at this club. Or have held us back and have got us into the position that we are in, and he's on that list with his name underlined. So I'm sorry, he goes, no sentiment.
No. Negatron alert! Don't sell Bakuna! He is a born again winner! He won the Caribbean Cup! He won the Caribbean Cup!
In terms of, well, who has definitely gone, obviously Carlos Sanchez, Hill has gone out on loan, one of these tight-fisted Spanish contracts where they get the
player for free, basically. Is how that works.
Essentially, yeah, they have him for a season on loan and then reduce his value in terms of transfer fee, and then buy him for nothing at the end of, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's that. Jordan Veretout, I think, turned out better than it could have been, because Saint-Étienne were pitching up quite low, I thought, at 4.5, if that was the fee, and I don't think Dr. Tony was very happy about that. And they thought it was a done deal until Florentina swooped in and took him for closer to around 6 million.
Good business.
Just get rid of him. He's a plonk.
Yeah, it's one of those. I think I can sort of see where we were at when Saint-Étienne offered four and a bit million. It was one of those where you just say, "Oh, cut our losses. This guy's, not doing a great lot." And is there a more miserable looking face in football than Jordan Veretout?
I think he's just because he's dumb. But with a player like him, I mean, obviously he is. Did you see some of those videos that he was involved
Greece.
In? In terms of Veretout, just put in a sell on clause.
We've genuinely got six and a half million quid out of Fiorentina for him.
That's good. And then, I'm trusting they've factored in we'll get another 5-10%, whatever, if Fiorentina sell him on.
No.
I'm pretty sure that would have been factored in that initial 4.5 million deal with Saint-Étienne as well. Nathan Baker has gone. This is something I actually got a little heads up on. There'd been a couple of bids put in for him, at least, and Villa had accepted them.
Mm.
So all it took, I think it all happened obviously within a period of a week, and it was essentially down to him to decide to go. And I think Bruce, he spelled it out when he signed Terry and Mr. Samba, because I'm sure at the end of last season, Baker's just thinking of next season, him and Chester being the centre-backs, and that's the end of the conversation. But I think he got a bit of a surprise there. Obviously wasn't going to feature regularly in a starting Villa team, so luckily he's been away at Bristol City for pretty much a whole season.
Yeah.
And so it was like he had another place to go without putting much thought to it. But the social media outcry of this decision, I mean, when we're talking about players, he's okay average.
Mm.
Well, my take of him, which I've always maintained, is he can't read the game. A few seasons ago, when you're watching the Keystone Kops defence of Aston Villa, a lot of it is Baker out of position, not really reading the situation. And this is why he's having to dive in, do his kind of brave routine, and often getting injured or getting knocks, because he's overcompensating. I mean, it all looks good.
It's all less. Ditch. It looks heroic, but actually it's desperation,
heroic,
isn't it?
Yeah, heroic last ditch. But you didn't really see, for example, Paul McGrath breaking his legs, flying in left, right, centre, because he was there. He
could read the game.
A step ahead, yeah. Baker was always a step behind, but he would 75% of the time make up for it by, let's say, being brave.
No, and I think that as well, the discussion that I saw on social media was, why are we still keeping hold of players like Micah Richards and Tommy Elphick in this period? Well, they're too expensive and they're not as good. And that doesn't say a great deal about our other backup options as they stand, but actually they don't appeal to anyone either. That's the thing. It's not that Baker's better.
We sell Baker and we still got Micah Richards. We should sell him first. Micah Richards allegedly is on 60 grand. A week, because there was no transfer fee, and we thought we'd done the greatest piece of business ever. Tim Sherwood was cartwheeling, high-fiving Tom Fox. Micah Richards, I mean...
Well, the fact that nobody is interested.
Nobody wants Micah Richards, that's the problem. Our only hope with Micah Richards is for him to get to some kind of fitness where he can actually finish a game of football and try to find some kind of semblance of a form that got him his reputation as being half decent. I can't see him shifting. It would be like a mercy loan where we end up paying most of the wages and dump him off, somewhere in the Championship. But people aren't going to risk relegation by taking Richards on.
That's the point, isn't it? No, but it's not just a financial decision. Why would you? If you want to improve your situation, particularly defensively, you're not in the market for a Micah Richards, are you?
Yeah, and that's another thing that people don't understand. They just see it all from Villa's point of view. Well, you've got to look at the player's point of view as well. And of course, part of this decision is Nathan Baker wanting. He's 26 now. He wants to play, he wants to be in that first 11. And he's in the Championship now, so sitting on the bench in the Championship, not going to happen.
No.
If you've got any self-esteem. So, of course he went, when offered the chance, and of course Villa, took the money. Because, it's short-term, and, I agree with this, because I think we have got this situation where, come the end of the season, if we're still in this league Terry's not playing. I think James Chester's getting out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And Samba, who knows? Could go anywhere. I mean, if we're still in this league, Samba could potentially stay.
I mean, football is short-termism, though, isn't it? I think the reality is that even if you look forward and you project forward and you say, let's play a long game with the likes of Nathan Baker, I don't think that doesn't see us to promotion. And last season would be the huge chunks of that season there. He was part of that partnership where, you know, there's enough determination and heroic tackles, but there's also a lot of mistakes and injuries and
giving
liabilities.
The ball away. But just finishing off like the 1 year projection. So if we do get promoted
when
this season, then Terry's not going to be playing 37 going on 38 in the Premier League.
No.
Samba potentially not. But if he has a good season, then he'll probably be offered a 1 year extension. But then Baker, he's not going to be your centre back in the Premier League. We're not going to make the same mistake and just play people that are average or just above average. So he's going anyway. He's not good enough. And there's a lot of sentimentality, and I've tweeted this, about bang average players. What is it? Why do people get so emotionally attached to these players that have let you down season after season and taken you for a fool? I mean, how many people are on Baker's back and then suddenly they're all crying about him going? I mean, it's the same with Bakuna. He's had people wanting him out. Then, you know, there's people out there who thinks he's some kind of Dutch maestro. Seems to change with the wind. At Veretout, people were like clawing onto the back of his trainers, trying to keep him at the club. What's he actually done at the club? Nothing. Get rid. I mean, all out.
Yeah, there all isn't... out. I mean, don't believe the spiel either. I think there are a lot of modern football, just very briefly touching on Veretout, is it's in his agent's interest for, you know, the media or I don't know, even groups of fans, I suppose, to have some perception that he's some untapped hidden talent that's waiting to emerge. And that's what these players have got to trade off, I guess, if they haven't. Veretout, Baker, Sanchez, Hill, been at Villa at a time where if you're a decent player and you could have made any impact, Christ, over the last 2 or 3 years, you'd have stood out like an absolute diamond in the rough, wouldn't you?
Exactly. I mean, take another player who's gone out, and where he's gone out basically sums up the situation. Aaron Tshibola, going out on loan for a season at MK Dons in lower league Division 1.
Says everything about our purchasing last season, doesn't it?
Exactly. But also, I mean, on the grapevine, there were questions about Tshibola's attitude and his temperament and, you know, whether he's a bit immature and not knuckling down. And also, Mr. Baker, you know, there's a few question marks about him, let's say, taking the mickey a bit. While he was at Villa. So they weren't exactly crying when he left anyway. So these players are getting paid a lot of money, and sometimes they think they just have to do essentially the bare minimum to put on a Villa shirt and get away with it, and they're not that bothered. So that's, you know, that's why we're dropping, or we have been dropping, and we need people, you know, we like your Whelans and Terrys who have come in. They're not coming just to fanny around. They've come because they know about football. They're old school. Football's about winning. Not about just
it's about temperament as well, isn't it? It's, you know, you can't stand either of the two names that you just gave against a Veretout or a Baker, and, you know, in terms of achievement, and you look at them in terms of thinking, well, who would I rather have, you know, at the death? You know, you wouldn't have any of the outgoing guys, would you? There's no one who you feel, oh, you know, genuinely, there's no one you think, oh, he's definitely going to go on and do well for another club. You know, it's not like a Benteke moment. And perversely, he didn't go on and do well, in my view. You know, but there hasn't been that feeling.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Anyway, moving on, another couple of players that they've surely got to leave by the time the window closes. First, Tommy Elphick. I think the Sunderland interest is meant to be like bang on, but there seems to be a reason why it's not happening anytime like now. I think the word on the street is going to happen in a week or 2 weeks. Now, I had a theory. We were discussing this earlier. Yeah. When he signed for Villa, he cut short his honeymoon, didn't he?
So maybe his missus has called time, said I want the remaining 4 days of our all-inclusive to Valaraki.
Honeymoon part two. He's got the call. His agent rang him up. Sorry, Tommy, to interrupt your honeymoon part two, like I did last year. But the Villa have signed Samba and Terry. Looks like you're out, son. Blues are on the line. Forget about the Blues. Sunderland. They want you now, though, because they've got a pre-season game against Celtic. And if you don't get there for that game, they're going to get beat about 5-0, which actually happened. So he's probably said, well, let's do it, but I'm not coming back from this honeymoon. And that's why it's dragging its heels a little bit. That's just our theory anyway. But that he looks dead on to go. Another player, this is a bit interesting, Gardner. Apparently, Forrest wanted him. Similar thing to Baker. They loved him when he was on loan, and so it's not really a punt. They've seen him with their own eyes. But there's some unfinished business with them not kind of paying for Ross McCormack's loan, because that all went a bit crappy, didn't it, at the end? He didn't really feature for Forrest, and Forrest said, well, we don't really want to pay for this. It's damaged goods. And so Villa have said, well, you're not having Gardner if you're not paying for McCormack. So I think that's where that's kind of stuck at the moment. Mm. Allegedly. Friendlies. What's happened pre-season? Let's look into this. Paul Ben Dixon says, when should we expect to see some clear playing style or formation during pre-season? Well, let's extend this to the upcoming season as well. What do you think? Have you seen anything?
It's quite simple. Dr. Tony's revised his, you know, we'll conquer the world within 3 seasons to saying, oh, hang on a minute, I didn't realise it was Aston Villa. It's actually going to take 20 years. Was his most recent tweet, wasn't it?
It went from like 3 years to 5 years. Maybe he did one about 10 years, I don't know. But now it's like 20 years.
He's like the rest of us. He's going, oh, this is a big job. This is a big job.
So in terms of a clear Aston Villa playing style, I think Tony Zia has spelled it out. 20 years' time, I think, is when you can start expecting to see some clarity on that.
I mean, I think that the important thing to what I think Mr. Ben Dixon is implying is that pre-season hasn't been particularly pretty or consistent in terms of the style and whatever we've seen. I would agree, but there's, you know, I think we've alluded to it before that it's been difficult to see what we've been trying to do at times, hasn't it? And you think that, well, if this is a learning game, you know, what are we trying to learn from it?
Well, I think we saw against in the Watford game, the first half, especially before people went off injured and the subs came on, was what I prophesied. This two deep sitting midfielders, in this case it was Whelan and Lansbury. Grealish playing in the role that, if it's ever going to happen for him, I think this is the formation where you've got four at the back, two sitting in front of them, which gives you a foundation to let three, you know, teams like Dortmund, Barcelona, I think Mourinho used to do it with Real, even Ferguson as well. We have that three playing, essentially three attacking midfielders, left wing, right wing, and then your attacking midfielder who's essentially behind the lone striker. Yeah, and Grealish through the middle in that. When I saw that formation and you saw, oh Jesus, he's actually doing it. I thought, right, that's Grealish's role. If he's any good, as people hype him up to be, or people reckon or hope he's going to be like, that is the role that he can, and this is the formation to get it out of him. And what happens? Of course, it's the Villa universe, and he gets injured and he ends up in hospital.
Yeah, the Death Star struck him, didn't it?
Oh no, there is hope for Jack Grealish's career. Better put an end to that. It was quite distinct, though, that 45 minutes. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, as the season was progressing, oh, no, we've signed John Terry, we're going to go three at the back, because this is the way you preserve John Terry. I mean, that was my theory as well. And then when Elmo came in, it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a wing-back. He's going to play right wing-back. This, you know, supports the prophecy of the three centre-backs. But when Elmo's playing, he's playing wing. And when Whelan came in, you thought, well, Whelan could have gone to Burnley or another Premier League team. There was, you know...
Yeah, but have you been to Burnley? Jesus.
He had talks like a week before Villa, you know, even signed him up. So Bruce must have convinced him. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, come to Villa and you can be Jedinak's understudy and sit on the bench. You know, regular Irish international, playing regularly, Premier League, offers at other Premier League club. You're not coming to a Championship team unless you're an integral part of their plans. Because... what's he going to do, Jedinak? He's either selling Jedinak to facilitate Whelan and a new plan, or he's going to play them both together, two, you know, sitting midfielders, and that frees up the rest of the midfield to just go for it. And that's where Steve Bruce suddenly has an attacking plan.
I think it also, taking that a step further, and I think that lends a bit more weight to the idea that we will perhaps go a bit more for games in the earlier part of the game. You know, this coming season, you know, take that first hour on, because we were very lethargic, or very, very, what's the word? We barely had a plan A, but we certainly didn't have a plan B.
Yeah.
But if you imagine that Whelan-Jedinak combo, that Jedinak's got that natural ability, and he does this for Australia now, but he also did it towards the back end of last season for us. He actually becomes a third centre-back in the last 20 minutes of a game.
Yeah.
And you think, actually, if you have Whelan still sat in that same role, but Jedinak can go deeper, you can protect the back line, but at least have an out ball. You know, because it wasn't natural Lansbury doing that Whelan-type role at all. But if Lansbury's the next ball on, that makes more sense to me. Or Grealish, for instance.
And if you're under the cosh, like from set plays or whatever, just bring on Samba. I mean, watching him against Hertha Berlin, every time Hertha Berlin got that ball into the box, whether it be a cross or from a set piece, he was on the end of it every time. I mean, he read everything very well, and he just kind of hoovered it up. So I think when it comes... you've got, like, John Terry's experience. You've got the physicality of Jedinak and also Samba.
The height of Jedinak and Samba alone.
I don't think we're going to be biting our nails in the last 10 minutes or last 5 minutes of the game when we're trying to hold on to leads. I think we'll get rid of that. I think we'll be a bit cooler and more composed. You know, as long as we're a bit more cooler and composed at the other end of the field when it comes to shooting, for example, because we were creating chances against Watford. What were the scores, Watford and Warsaw? Is that a clue to how the season's going to be going? I hope not.
It's a little bit McLeish, isn't it?
A little bit. But I think that formation I've spoken of, the 4-2-3-1, it kind of lends itself to potentially being quite successful away from home, because you do have like two out and out wingers and a bit more of a fluid counter-attacking style off a very solid base. So if you're not drawing, you're going to be snatching wins.
Yeah, and that's the real positive to be taken, that you're starting to see the formation of a plan, and you can see how, you know, a little bit like chess, because it's not a perfect science, but you can see how individuals would fit into that. And the Championship, thinking back, you know, people say that it's not a difficult division, but you can become entrenched in a way of thinking that makes, you know, people go, oh, you know, Preston on a Tuesday night. And, you know, I'm very guilty of falling into that way of thinking. But actually, it's just a game of football that if you can, you know, look at some of the, if we can just release our strikers and release the potential and not concede stupid goals either.
It is a mental thing. You see these articles, whether it's Bruce or Mick McCarthy, like, oh, the Championship, oh, the rigours of the Championship, blah, 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 oh, it's so tough. You're only talking about it because you are a Championship manager, because you're not good enough to be a regular Premier League manager. Yeah, as you said, the standard is not that high. It's just the number of games, basically. And I think... I mean, we'll trim the squad a bit more, but I think we've got enough there to...
Let's just take it into our centre-halves.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Chester, who's going to be a mainstay. He was a mainstay last season, and hopefully, you know, it's one of those touchwood, he stays fit.
Yeah.
But now you've got, with the Tuesday-Saturday rotation, a pick of Terry or Samba.
Yeah.
you know, and I think that the issue last season, when you look at Chester, he was always, you know, he was never partnered with anyone particularly competent. You know, Elphick just didn't come off for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Baker was Baker, you know, loyal, dedicated, but actually the great moments were because he probably made a cock up. And then beyond that, you're hoping on Richards, but we've changed all that straight away. And I think that's, you know, if you do get an injury to Chester, you've got two. So.
And you've got Jedinak who can slip in there as...
Absolutely.
Bruce Absolutely. Experimented with last year. I mean, Richie Delatt, who we haven't really factored into any of these conversations, can also play centre-back if things get desperate.
Yes, he can, yeah. Or Alan Hutton, as we saw.
Yeah. I think with Elmo, since Elmo's playing more of an out-and-out right winger, who we haven't really had since like Albrighton, and he wasn't really a mainstay of the of the Villa setup, is the good thing about Elmo is you don't now have to rely on Hutton being our right wing outlet, which final third in the opposition's half is not where Hutton excels. So that may help Hutton and also help him keep his place in the first 11, because suddenly you're not thinking about the trade-off. Well, maybe Breed's better going forward, but I don't think Breed's a better defender at this moment in time because he's still 19.
No, I mean, right back is, I mean, you've got so many names there now, it's difficult to know, and there are so many opinions as well, because Hutton sort of experienced this bizarre resurgence towards the back end of last season for, you know, which wasn't all bad. And can't be, you know, it was a positive, definitely. Bree's got to be seen as the future, and you can see within him there's a very good footballer, actually, and that's got to be the direction we take.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Mr. Hutton by, I mean, Hutton, if I was the Villa manager, would have left this club a long time ago. But at the moment, who do you start first game of the season? I would probably go Hutton over Bree.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I wouldn't. If we're going to be going for the 4-4-2, well, not, it's not 4-4-2, but the back four, I would go with Bree, and I think we've got to start to reshape our football team, because I do wonder as well with Hutton, if we'd have had an offer, would he have stayed?
Well, allegedly that's what's meant to have happened. I mean, let me rephrase that. If somebody wanted to buy Hutton, I'd sell him straight away.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Never mind, like, that's the test. You know, because Bree is the future. But what I was, I don't know if I said, but I haven't seen enough from Bree so far to convince me that he's 100% better than Hutton at this given moment in time against Hull in the first game of the season.
Let me see how I see that then. It must be a similar way. Bree is not the complete fullback, but Hutton, I know enough about Hutton's flaws to know that he's not the complete fullback either. But I can see the potential in Bree, which...
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
You know what I mean?
But if we hadn't signed Elmo and I didn't witness what he can do down the right flank, then I would say, yeah, Bree, get him in there, because we've got to have something better going forward down that flank to, you know, give the opposition something to think about. But I think Elmo, because he was so direct, and he'll take the left back on straight away as soon as he gets a sniff of the ball, then I think Hutton supported pretty well. Problem is, if Hutton is the overlap man, you know, the delivery's never going to be that good. But that's the problem. I mean, Bree and Elmo could be a sensational, but I want to see evidence from Bree first.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the danger is that, I suppose, you'll only see evidence through him playing.
Yeah.
The Hutton discussion's always difficult, because people just assume that you default to hating him just because he was in the bomb squad. And, you know, Hutton, to his credit, was dumped a couple of times by the club and kept his mouth shut. And as a guy, I've got nothing against him. I just don't think it's a bit like, there's a little bit of a slither of the Baker about it, that he's tarnished with the bad things that I think about over the last 5, 6, 7 years of Villa, really, that we need that clean break, in my view.
Yeah. And if he goes, I wouldn't bat an eyelid. I mean, I think there was this kind of revisionist cult hero thing, but I mean, you know, that's just football fans. It's not a reflection on his ability. He is one of the mediocre players that have held us back, and how and why we find ourselves in this situation. Anyway, as a compromise, let's just play Richards at right back.
Fucking
Just quickly, look, I mean, the podcast that we recorded that we didn't get round to putting out, we discussed Telford, Kidderminster, Walsall games, Shrewsbury, and what we saw in the early part of those was this, let's call it a half-hearted attempt by Bruce to create this potential Hogan and McCormack partnership for, let's say, the early games of the season. Just give it one last look. And
Quickly abandoned.
I mean, McCormack was kind of getting, I think McCormack, he had chances, but he needed to score. And, you know, you can call yourself rusty or whatever, but he had to do it really to have any chance of getting back in there.
Well, I'll call it as I saw it, woefully out of shape for a professional footballer.
Well, people are saying that about Richards as well.
Well, that's just a different level, to be honest.
Yeah. Hogan, I mean, he scored a couple of goals, took them with aplomb, and he was linking it with Almo pretty good. He hasn't got any stride yet, but that's the interesting thing. I mean, I think he's got two problems. He's got Codger kind of works as the lone striker. So that formation we mentioned that you would go for Codger in that. His other problem is Bruce seems to rate a Bong Lahore above him.
Don't get that. I really don't get that.
Negatron alert! Bruce Almighty doesn't have a plan A, never mind a plan B! He's a potato! He is a potato!
I think logically, yes, okay, Gabby kind of works as a lone striker because he played it under Martin O'Neill, but if you've got a lone striker, the very definition of that, it means you're relying on the lone striker to score. And Gabby we just saw he's just not sharp enough. I mean, Hogan did more in a few minutes to show that he's sharp enough, and, you know, he's still got his confidence, but he needs to be playing. And I think pre-season wise, I think it's a shame that game got rained off, because I think we're one or two games short of, in terms of finding a rhythm with Hogan for starters, and also sorting out the midfield in terms of the attacking midfield. You know, is Hourihan going to play? Bruce was delighted to get him, but he doesn't seem that chuffed about having him now. Lansbury, what's his role? Because you thought those two were like bang on to be our, you know, top two midfielders, but now both of them are struggling to actually get in the first 11.
Well, this is perhaps where the you know, I was talking earlier about us, inability to establish a plan A last season, let alone have a plan B, and we've got that was the early pre-season trouble. I think that we were desperately trying to establish what clusters of players will work in what combination without having the first clue necessarily of what our formation or game plan was. And I suppose, you know, those fitness games, inverted commas, are the worst time to try and establish those things. You know, the McCormack Hogan thing was a complete waste of time, not because I can see why they wanted to attempt it, but McCormack was, you know, a different shape to every other guy on the pitch. There's no getting away from it. You know, we all have eyes. It's a fact. Yeah. So why don't we just pursue down the route that, and the logical way that we would want to play Hogan is that we starved him of service. You've brought in, you know, players in Hourihan and Lansbury who, you know, at their previous clubs were known for driving the game forward, their creativity. You've got Elmo in from the right. I don't think football's complicated.
That's your catchphrase.
It is my catchphrase, and it must do people's fruit in.
We will be selling t-shirts with I don't think football's complicated.
It really friggin' isn't, because people are... Well, it's kind of like the England-friendly situation that you have whenever they come round. I always think, well, you know, why play people who you know everything about them?
Yeah.
We know every combination. We know what Gabby's about.
What can you learn more about Gabby?
You know, I don't want to learn any more, to be honest, personally.
How many articles have been written? Let's give Gabby one more chance, shall we? I mean, come on.
Don't.
It's like... If I had a bolt gun, one of those things that they put cattle down with, I'd have used it.
After you'd used it on yourself.
After I've used it on myself. So then I'd, you know, don't have to watch any more games. Just tell me this, and I've heard rumours that it's true, because I just thought he had a unlimited contract. But is it Gabby's last year of his contract?
Of the infamous 5-year Fox deal.
No, not 5 years, like unlimited, I thought it was on. But no, is it the last year, or is that just really crazy wishful thinking?
Oh, it's got to be, hasn't it? Surely.
Yeah.
Sure. Because the... I don't see where we go. And you know, say we got promoted.
I mean, I could Google it while we talk, but let's just keep it as a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, is it the last year of his contract? If you find the answer, because I don't want the horror of finding out that he's got 2, 3, 4 more years left, but you can research it and drop us a tweet on @AstonVillaPod and just surprise us online. Let's just have a couple of quick questions before we wrap here. Middle Finger says on Twitter, implications of not getting promoted as each passing window goes means we're closer to resembling a championship squad. Codger and JT will be gone next year. Well, we've kind of alluded to this when we were talking about the centre-back situation, but I think we will smell very much like a champ. Well, we are a championship team at the moment. Let's not delude ourselves.
Absolutely.
You look at our squad and you think, well, there's some big names in there. I mean, come on, Terry and Samba go back 3, 4 years with the best centre-backs in the Premier League, potentially. But if we don't get promoted next season, we will stink and reek of a championship squad because James Chester, he'll be out of here. Codger, he'll be out of here. JT, he'll probably be buried by then. I don't know.
May he rest in peace.
Samba, well, he's a kind of a wild card anyway. But anybody good, I mean, Jedinak will probably go out to pasture somewhere abroad.
Mm.
And we'll just be left with the dregs. And it will be harder. This is the best shot we've got in the next 5 years of getting promoted.
Now, I don't want to be prophet of doom again.
Oh, there's another one of your catchphrases.
Because we have to get promoted this season. We just have to. Because yeah. We talk about the dregs. Yeah. That would be left out of, you know, what you talk about.
If we don't get promoted this season, Bakuna will be the captain the following season. Put it that way.
Fucking hell, Christ. I will spontaneously combust in the Holt End should that happen. Look out for it. If we look at it this way, the dregs would be some of the most highly paid championship, well, if not the highly paid championship players.
Yeah.
And people constantly say to me, oh, the financial fair play isn't a big deal, or it won't matter. It doesn't matter here and now, but if we cock up this season, it will absolutely impact upon us in a horrendous way, and I really hope that this comes off, actually.
Yeah, if we're not top six, we should be top six all the way through to the end, but if we're not top six and we're struggling by Christmas, suddenly Dr. Tony's, he knows the significance of this season, and,
yeah,
and you know, when they do their interviews and they say, well, we're going for promotion this season, hopefully this season, you know, if not, no, there is no next season. Dr. Tony will execute Steve Bruce on the spot if he's not looking like he's promotion bound at Christmas. Also, you start to look at the motivation of players like John Terry. He's come here for one last hurrah, lifting up the championship and helping out Villa, everybody patting him on the back, winner from start to finish of his career. He's going to lose interest fast if we're farting around in mid-table. He's just going to think, well, at least I'm getting paid a few million, and we'll just...
I'll be gone.
Play this out for laughs. Oh, I'm injured. Sorry. There you go, Samba. It's all yours. So, yeah, motivation's going to change, and, you know, the fans, we're going to turn nasty.
we have got pedigree for that, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
Let's be honest.
If you think what's been happening, because we're not just talking about one season in the championship in isolation, we're talking about the rot of, let's say, 5, 6 seasons. And we've been sold a lot of hyperbole. Let's not forget we finished 13th last season. So the reality is it's got to be big changes. And I think we've got some missing ingredients from last season in place now. I mean, you've got like players.
Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
People look around, they see Terry, they'll see Samba, and then Whelan as well. You've got like proper. Yeah.
I mean, as you've said, really, and this is something we've probably been banging on, I think the improvements from January and the recruitment from January has been really good. I just don't think that... I think there's two issues. For whatever reason, we didn't get them to click, and I think a number of them just didn't perform well enough. It's no more complicated than that. But the single-mindedness of the closed season, like you say, with the John Terrys, and I get that. I get what that brings to the club. You know, if you're not going to do it this season, well, what do you change? You know, assuming that we had another season beyond it and without the financial fair play implication, what other combination is there? I don't know.
Yeah, we couldn't really improve this team, I don't think, next season.
Who are you going to attract? I mean, what?
I think, you know, the Terry was like one of the last spin of the dice. I mean, Terry coming will also help buy players this season.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And or, you know, persuade people to stay. But what we didn't, I mean, when we're saying, oh, we need, you know, we were lacking leaders and winners previously, we were getting leaders in which were Hurahan, Lansbury, and Elphick, and really weren't leaders on it in any big way where they were like leaders of men. You look at John Terry and every footballer respects him instantly.
Yeah. Well, genuine winners, actually, as well.
Yeah, Samba, they'll know that he used to get paid 100,000. I mean, like, even Thor Bjarnason, you know, he was in the Iceland team that beat England, and he was in the quarterfinals of the European Championships. You look at Chester, you go, there's a guy that was in the semi-finals. Belgium, you know, one of the best collection of international players you can get. So we've got a lot of pedigree in that team as people you look at and you go, oh yeah, you know, most of them could still probably carve out a career in the Premier League. So, and they're not all going to be, you know, they're going to give it like your Codgers, your Chesters, and they're not going to give it another year after this, another season.
No.
And the other guys we've got, the old boys, who we always spoke about on the podcast throughout, you know, every episode when we were discussing what we needed, we talked about these like mid-30 players that have been there. We were probably thinking about some exotic European like superstar.
Well, I think thinking back a year ago, we were thinking like a Cambiasso type player, weren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, exactly. But what we've got is more practical versions of those, like in your Whelans.
Yeah.
And then you've got Terry and you've got Samba, and this is these old heads. But actually, the reason why you were talking about mid-30 players was we were talking like top-level players in their prime, not just somebody who was half good who was just getting old. We were talking about, like, you know, the creme. Mm.
I mean, that's why. I mean, I'm no fan of Terry the person, but you can overlook that because you can't dispute the achievement in his career. You can't.
Speaking of John Terry, another question from a listener. Peter Smallbone says, how will Villa avoid... Why do you do this every time? How will Villa avoid... You're so childish, aren't you? How I should have just soldiered on because I can cut your track out. How will Villa avoid all the press coverage being about John Terry and not about Villa? Well, there's many ways this can go. If Villa start winning and charging up the table, locking in a promotion spot early doors, then it'll all be about Villa. Alternately, Villa start losing and scrabbling around, all the press coverage will be about Steve Bruce getting fired.
Yeah.
I think the Terry thing is, it's a kind of a pre-season summer thing, and the novelty will wear off. The only time he'll be mentioned again is if he's taking credit for all the clean sheets we're going to have as we storm through and win the league.
I do think it's already begun, though, hasn't it? That the bottom feeders of the social media betting companies are already homing in on Terry, aren't they? And tweeting images of, oh, this time last year he was playing against, I don't know, some Champions League winning team, and now he finds himself in, I don't know, Warsaw or whatever, you know, that sort of crap, low rent shit. I think the only issue would arise if Terry gets embroiled in anything. Has he been known to be embroiled in anything?
Only according to you. I mean, the things you were listing in the last podcast, I'd never heard of. I think you were making them all up.
No, they were from a reputable... reputable verified source.
I think John Terry brought the press back, the circus back in town, and it was kind of a good thing in terms of, I think it keeps Villa in the papers and in the kind of the footballing eye, and the spin-off of that is Sky TV. There's a novelty factor. People want to see John Terry in a Villa shirt. There's this kind of curiosity that we've spoken about before, but not just Villa fans, but, you know, other fans. And I think that will soon die down, and the only interest will really become of how Villa do. If Villa had dying on their feet and middling around mid-table, then the football world will move on from John Terry. That the novelty factor would have gone. But if Villa are doing well, then it will be like Villa inspired by John Terry.
Or if he has such a monumentally bad season, you know, where he gets, you know, it's mistake after mistake, or fans turn on him, or, you know, he somehow, you know, God forbid we have some level of decline this season that it can be attributed to him, or they'll try to attribute it to him being the...
Then we'll, you know, we'll be blamed as the club that destroyed John Terry. Which, I mean, if he can get through one season playing for Villa and come out a decent player still, then he'd probably be one of the first players to do that for a very long time. We are the breaker of men. Just, I just want to say a quick welcome to Andrew Moore and Lawrence Bird, who signed up to be My Old Man Said patrons. Welcome aboard, and thank you very much for your support. One patron, I think it was after the last show, we sent one of the patrons to the kit launch where he got to play with Stan Petrov. I think Stan was very upset with his team after they got beaten the first round, but they managed to win the third and fourth playoff. But anyway, he got to keep the kit and the boots, so... And he also won in the reward draw a £20 voucher in the same, I think, the same week.
Wow.
So for just supporting $1 a month as a mom's patron, he got to play with Stan Petrov, keep his kit, new shirt before any of you peasants got one. That includes me as well. I haven't seen one. And also got 20 notes to buy more from the Villa shop. So it pays to be a patron because we look after you. And in this world where all newspapers are getting you to subscribe to them and pay, they don't give you anything back. And by the way, so if you're a regular away fan and you're a mom's patron, there's also a chance that you might get, because this I managed to sort this out for one fan last season, and we're trying to, hopefully it's going to happen twice this season. The English Football League are basically rating away grounds now. So what they do is get fan reps to go around away grounds and fill in this fairly comprehensive survey, but you get two tickets refunded, transport, food, a program refunded as well.
It's a good gig.
It's a good gig, put it that way. For half an hour of your time just filling in their surveys, you get a free away day, essentially, for you and your buddy. I mean, maybe I happen to be going to their away game, but I haven't got any friends. So that second person will get you refunded. But anyway.
If only you knew someone.
If only I knew somebody. Go to my home and said... Exactly. That's the main problem.
Oh.
Anyway, go to myomansaid.com, click on patrons and join us. There's lots of other rewards that are going to be happening as well, and it's well worth it. And you're supporting somebody who will support you back. Thank you. And don't forget to subscribe. Subscribe on iTunes. Also, give us a review if you enjoy the show. Next time we speak, that's if you do come back from this holiday, the season will be up and running.
And we'll be top.
And we'll be top straight away. First game and never look back. Until then, until our bright future that was promised by a certain American owner.
Many years ago.
It's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Adios.
My old man said.
There's another question about Mikael Richards. I mean, in terms of... I think we've now entered
not
the stage.
An option.
We've entered the stage of the transfer window where I think we've pretty much got all our ins. I think if we get one more in, probably wouldn't be surprised. But any more than that, you'd probably be surprised. So now it's all about emptying our loads. And in terms of Samba, well, literally, come on, let's not beat about the bush here. There's some serious number twos to be dropped.
Well, and he is one. He's definitely one. Old Richards.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.